Yes, Duck Sick. And there's more of that coming.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily podcast on fantasy basketball. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com, and you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_bball. Wrapping up the Summer League recap today. Got some interesting pods coming next week as well. Also have filled out the last of the Dynasty Leagues I'll be running. Still some redraft league spots out. You'll find more information about that on my Twitter account, and I'll keep tweeting out to fill those last remaining spots in the redraft leagues. We're going to be looking at teams starting with Oklahoma City, actually. Oklahoma City through to Washington for Summer League today. Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it.
As you are probably aware, ESPN has brought out their, opened their mock drafts for fantasy basketball. Their rankings are, as usual, curious. There are stuff that makes complete sense, but then there are things that just make you look at it and go, somebody here is paying absolutely zero attention to this. And people will always come out with the defense, oh, don't worry, Josh, they'll fix it later. It's bullshit. They will fix it later. They'll fix it in a month's time, in 6 weeks' time. It's bullshit. Under no circumstance should Emmanuel Mudiay be ranked as the 46th ranked player, which is where they've got him. You know, contrast that to Jason Tatum at 101. The Baptist John Collins is at 100. Jarrett Allen is at 144. Isaiah Thomas, as a backup point guard in Denver, is at number 50. Paul George is at number 29. There's just so many rankings there that don't make sense. There are plenty that do make sense. Dwight Howard at 28 seems a little bit off to me. I don't get the logic of having these guys in their spots. The Donovan Mitchell is at 44. Manuel Mudiay is at 46. Like, what on earth is going on here with some of these rankings? Again, some of it's fine. LeBron at 4, I can understand it. I wouldn't do it, but I can understand it. Anthony Davis, James Harden, we know where those guys are. Kawhi, yeah, into that second round discussion, I probably wouldn't go there with him. But these are all things that are debatable. Some of this other shit is just not even close to being debatable. And I don't understand it, how John Collins, Taurean Prince, Jarrett Allen, Jason Tatum are all, at this point, outside the top 100, to be honest. The player who probably is more likely to be outside the top 100 this season is Tatum out of those guys. But now that's a discussion for another day. I'm not going to be digging into these rankings too much at this point because, A, I don't have my own projections finished at this point to go through it and say, well, I think this is wrong because I've got this and this is where I see it, blah, blah, blah. But there are just a few that stand out as being crazy. I think doing mock drafts and people going off those rankings, and you're going to get a false sense of security from the team that you end up drafting. Look at me, I got John Collins in round 10 and Jarrett Allen in round 13, when that is just nowhere near a realistic representation of what you will get in decent leagues. So when you come and join the Red Rock Challenge Leagues, you're not going to have that. So these mock drafts actually offer nothing in regard to being able to prepare yourself. Again, I'll get into more of this, and we will do mock drafts. I'll do mock draft with Patreon subscribers, with listeners, and we'll put them on the show as well. Auctions and rotos and head-to-heads and snakes and all in points leagues and all that different stuff. We'll do all those mock drafts heading into the preseason. But once that we've got all our stuff out on Basketball Monster, don't think that these rankings on ESPN or where you're going to be able to get some of these players is going to be anywhere close to indicative of what will happen in a league where people actually know what they're doing. Because if anybody takes Emmanuel Mudiay inside the top 50, they're kidding themselves, and they're kidding themselves by a fairly significant margin. So just a quick word on that. There's laughability right across the rankings there. Again, some of it is fine and some of it makes sense, but there's always the one, in this case, about six or seven out of that top 100 that make absolutely zero sense in terms of where those players are placed. It reminds me back to Trey Lyles being the 46th ranked player when he was back in Utah in his second season a couple of years ago. Again, just absolutely no logic for that sort of thing to be the case. So I won't talk too much more about the ESPN rankings at the moment. They will change at some point, but just get it right. I don't know who's doing it, but get it right the first time. It should be pretty simple. And that's why I take time to do this, to make sure that I'm going in. But I don't know how they're basing these. It feels like it's very subjective, and that's why I don't like using rankings. I do mine in projections. I think this player is going to get these stats, and this is where they fall in the list amongst other guys. The rankings come out that way, and I say this time and time again. And for those of you who are new listeners, and someone say, why do you have X player ranked 70? Well, we don't go in and go, I'm going to put player at 70. I go in and go, I'm going to put player at 14 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 0.5 blocks, and then let's see where that ranks amongst everyone else. We don't go in and go, here's a number, you have that number. That's not how we do it, and that feels very much like what they've done here with these ESPN numbers. And again, it just doesn't make any sense with a lot of those selections. But let's move on from that. I don't think we've heard from Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it.
If we have, I apologize. He's there twice. Let's get into talking about Summer League. We'll start off with the Oklahoma City side of things. Not a huge amount to really see from the Thunder in Summer League. Dionte Burton, who they have signed to a two-way deal, he had a few nice games. He averaged 10.5 points, 6 boards, 3 assists, and had 1.6 steals and 1.6 blocks. We know that the Thunder is not likely to get a huge amount of time on this team. Abrines, Ferguson, Dennis Schroeder will play the two. Andre Robertson's back. Paul George, of course, at the three as well. So I don't think there's much to look at with Burton. He is 24 years of age, but put up a couple of nice performances, and I'm happy to see him get a two-way deal. We had MC Hamidou Diallo.
Stop. Have a time.
A couple of okay games, a couple of not so good games, 11-5. He averaged a steal a game. And the most pleasing thing here is he shot 49% from the field and he shot 44% from three after being a horribly inefficient shooter in college. Now, the free throws were still bad, just 56%. And that gives you a little bit of room for concern in terms of, you know, will this shooting be real or not? I'm not sure that it will. He's someone to, you know, keep a deep lookout for dynasty leagues. Terrence Ferguson was terrible, to be honest. 7-3 with a three, with a steal. Almost a block for Terry there. Shot 30% from the field. I really do worry that he's ever going to be a rotation NBA player at this point. The other guy we talk about is Dakari Johnson. He played for this team, then was traded multiple times. He's likely to be waived. He's averaging 14-5, a steal, a block. I still think that Dakari, in the right spot, can be a useful enough backup center. I just don't think it's coming anytime soon for him. Rashawn Thomas did okay. He tends to do quite well at in Summer League, Rashawn. Not sure he's ever going to be an NBA caliber player. The other guy I need to touch on is Daniel Hamilton, who was just recently signed by the Hawks to fill their last roster spot. A guy that I thought played pretty well last year in the G League, took on some ball handling responsibilities, played about 6 or 7 games for the Thunder last year. And for a guy that is going to be battling now in Atlanta with guys like Tyler Dorsey and DeAndre Bembry, could elevate himself. I thought his assist rate was very, very nice last season and worked his way into being a ball handling two guard sort of a player and played a little bit of the one as well. He averaged 8, 8, and 7 with almost half a steal. The shooting's the problem for Daniel Hamilton, but the ball handling stuff's interesting. Kevin Hervey, Devin Hall didn't do much to get the taste buds flowing really there at all. Let's talk about the Orlando Magic with a couple of really interesting performers on this team. Really, a lot of guys we wanted to look at. We had John Isaac, who I thought was really strong. 27 minutes a night in his 3 games, 14-7, 1.3 steals and the 2.7 blocks. Now, where he fits in with this team remains to be seen for this season. There's Aaron Gordon, there's Terrence Ross, John Simmons at the 3, Nick Vucevic, Mo Bamba at the center position. So where is Isaac? I think Isaac's best position is a 4-5. They're probably going to try and shoehorn him into the 3. Does that mean that he takes minutes away from Ross and Simmons? Hopefully. I think he's a better player than those guys, but it also does take him away from his strength, which can be a shot-blocking, high-rebounding guy who can stretch out. Now, the 3-point shooting was poor here, only 13%. He struggled with the shooting last season, but we saw the defensive numbers. If he gets 22 minutes a night, his ability to block shots and get steals is going to be valuable in standard leagues, but finding those minutes might be tough. He will get basically every single backup minute at power forward behind Aaron Gordon. That might only be 14 minutes per game. And then he's got to get some minutes at the 3, and hopefully we can find some minutes for him at the 5 as well. But I think for as much as I like Isaac, with the way that front court's structured, and maybe until Nick Vucevic gets traded, his upside is going to be a little bit limited. Mo Bamba.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Only 20 minutes a game for Mo, 9-6, 2.3 blocks, 60% from the field. Didn't attempt a single free throw. That's one of the worries we've had with him, is the poor free throw shooting. He was okay on three. Well, he was okay, he was bloody good on three. He's 50%, but he did only take 1.3 of those per game. Again, getting enough minutes this season until, say, a Nick Vucevic trade happens is going to make him a tough guy to consider drafting outside of that last pick. And even then, for the first 2 months, maybe he might only be getting 18 minutes a night and maybe contributing 1.5 blocks in that limited, maybe 2 blocks. And that could be enough for you. we have to wait until a Vooch deal goes down, I think, until we really see Bumba start to step up. I'm sort of a bit all over the place with him. The shooting has to come around. It's not there yet. The defense is there, no doubt, but he still has rebounding concerns, strength concerns, and I don't ever think, I'm not convinced that he's going to develop into an elite Rudy Gobert type of center. The potential's there, and the potential for him to become a stretchy version of Rudy Gobert is potentially there as well. I just think there's quite a few steps that he has to go through to get to that level, and he's not quite there at that spot just yet. My man, Troy Copain, 13.5 points, 5.5 boards with 4 assists. He's earned that two-way with the Magic. Really took on a nice scoring load, 46% from the field. Only 20% from three, but still managed to score as much as he did. This team needs guards in a bad way. So I could see Copan getting called up and perhaps getting converted to a full-time contract at some point in the season. There is Isaiah Briscoe. There is DJ Augustin and Jaron Grant as the point guards. But Copan's a guy that I like what he did in the G League last season for Lakeland, and he backed it up here and got that contract. Melvin Frazier struggled. His offense was just nowhere near where it needed to be, and that soured me on him a little bit. Isaiah Briscoe didn't do too much. Well, Rodney Purvis is the Dakari Johnson of the Magic, just getting traded about 4 or 5 times already this offseason. And where's Awundu? Not really sure Awundu's ever going to make himself into a rotation player at this point in his career. Let's move on to the Philadelphia 76ers. Some good performances, some disappointing performances for the Sixers in Summer League. Furkan Korkmaz had that explosion, 40 points in his first game, and averaged 17-4-2 with a steal, almost 3 threes per game. He is going to have to step up with Timotei Luwawu-Cabarrot and Justin Anderson both gone from this team, but I imagine that Markel Fultz takes a lot of those minutes there as well. But Korkmaz, you know, playing some of that backup three behind Bob Cove, although, again, baby neck Wilson Chandler's there, so maybe Korkmaz doesn't take on an extended role, but at least gets some of those mop-up minutes. The thing that worries me about Korkmaz in terms of fantasy potential is what else does he bring apart from scoring and threes? Can he get steals? Can he get assists? Can he rebound? And he didn't do huge amounts of that here, but still looked pretty solid in Summer League. And you think in deeper leagues, he'll be able to sustain a role as we move forward. DRC, Zaire Smith, looked strong at times. The offense is still a work in progress. 32 from the field and 20% from three. Averaged 8 points with 2.7 assists and a steal and half a block. It's going to be slow going for him. He's going to be at least close to rotation minutes early on, but I'm talking 3 to 4 years before he really develops. But he has got that really top level upside, and that's the sort of flyer you should be taking when you're out of those top 8 or so picks, I believe, in Dynasty Leagues. He's got that ability to come in and give you blocks per game and give you steals, you know, 2.2 steals per game. I think he could be a 4.5 assist guy at some point, 5 rebounds. Could he average 18 points and 2 threes? Well, that's the hope that he gets there, and that sort of top 20 level along with those defensive stats. So it's going to be a slow slog for Smith, and he's far from being a lock to get there, but that upside and that star upside for him is really important. Jonah Bolden, who will come across on a 4-year deal, last 2 years non-guaranteed, of course, with Rashawn Holmes out of there. He is likely an option to maybe even supplant Amir Johnson as the backup center at some point. There's Mike Muscala in there as well. Bolden struggled at Summer League, 6.5 points only, but brought the defensive stuff still. 1.5 steals, 1 block per game, and 6 rebounds. The shot has to fall for him to be a viable NBA player, though. Just 24% from 3 and 35% from deep. If he can find the way for that offense to be passable, he can get on the court and he can contribute defensive stats. But will that shot ever come around? That's the big question mark with Jonah. And also the shot selection. Sometimes he takes some ill-advised shots from deep and they just really don't go in all that often. So he's someone that I was impressed with him last Summer League, a little bit down on what I saw from him this season, because that shot just needs to go in. We had Landry Shamet, who only played one game, 6 points, didn't do a huge amount there for them. Askia Booker, an interesting G League guy, just someone to keep an eye on late stages of the season as well. Well, Chris McCullough, a guy who put up a couple of decent games, a guy that was drafted by the Nets a few years ago, coming off an ACL tear at Syracuse. He averaged 6 and 5 with a block, but again, struggling to find himself in on an NBA team at this point, but someone who did project out decently well if he was to ever get the opportunity. But of course, our hope in him getting that opportunity is probably fading at this point. Let's talk Phoenix Suns. DeAndre Ayton, of course, the big name here, 14.5 points with 10.5 boards, no assists. That's obviously disappointing. And 3.3 turnovers per game, a steal and a block, and didn't hit a three. Now, of course, Summer League was not an ideal scenario for him. The point guards weren't working to the best of their ability. There weren't many other guys drawing attention away, but still some of the concerns with Ayton lingered. It's a lack of defensive awareness. And people are always, people are very, very quick to believe in DeAndre Ayton. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't believe in him. It was, he's going to be Joel Embiid. Yeah, it was just Arizona's system that made him suck at defense. And I'm not certain that that's the case. I think he can be an okay defender, but I don't think he's going to be this elite type defender. There's still IQ positioning issues, even offensive stuff. He's got the physique. He looks sexy. We know that. But will it translate into elite type production? The results from Summer League weren't overwhelming. They weren't underwhelming. I'd say they were just whelming. At this point, and you didn't really come out and show, like Jaren Jackson or Mo Bamba or Wendell Carter Jr., that they were able to go out there and block shots and be this real defensive presence. Now, his ability with high field goal percentage, 60% at Summer League, 82% from the line, is excellent. And we talk about a guy that can easily be a top 20 guy, even if he gets to just 1.5 blocks. We've seen Enes Kanter do that before. Give me 20 and 12, give me 60 and 85. Hit a three and give me 1.5 blocks, and that's top 20 production. It won't happen this season, of course, and I think people will be a little bit disappointed with what he offers, but he can get there. I just don't ever see him being... I don't see him as the best player in this class quite clearly. And again, nothing, he didn't really blow me away here at Summer League. I thought Shaq Harrison played well. He averaged 12 points with 4.5 boards and 6.5 assists with 2.4 steals and almost a block. Brandon Knight is probably going to be the starting point guard. Elia Kobo is there as well. But I think Harrison's got a chance to start some games this season. And when he's in a 25-minute role, his assist and steal combination will give you value. We saw a guy like JJ Barea for the Mavericks last season come in, play 24-25 a night and give you 7 assists and 1.5 steals and have value. You know, I don't think Harrison's anywhere near that level of passer. And sharing the court with Devin Booker and even Josh Jackson means he won't have the ball in his hand as much, but he is just a name to watch. Davon Reed, I thought, was impressive here as well. 13 points, 2 threes, 4.5 boards, 3 assists. He won't get that sort of playmaking responsibility when he plays with the Suns, but he's worked his way that potentially he should be seeing time over Troy Daniels this season. While McCall Bridges brought the defense, 1.6 steals with 0.8 blocks, 1.4 threes, but didn't do much offensively, looked a little bit hesitant in terms of going for those shots. I think that we'll see him in a bench role and he won't be a fantasy standard league guy this season. TJ Warren, Josh Jackson will be usurping too much away from Bridges, but I still do like him long term. A couple of worrying signs for this. We'll talk Okobo first. I thought he had some nice performances, 3.5 assists in only 14 minutes. But the fact that they played him 14 minutes a game and Shaq Harrison 27 makes me a little bit concerned about where he sits in the pecking order moving forward, at least this season. I think he's going to be the starting point guard for this team, maybe next season or the year after, but maybe a little bit rough going on here. Dragan Bender really, really struggled, 37 from the field and 33 from three, only 6 points and 5 rebounds in his third Summer League. Really do have concerns about Bender. I liked Bender. I've said many times that I don't think he's got a great fantasy game, but I thought he could work into a decent NBA player with strong defense, good ball moving, passing, really smart positioning. But the shot's just getting nowhere close to going in, and that's really going to limit him. So he was never a high value fantasy asset, I didn't think, and I think we're going to see that more of that go through here. And Josh Jackson, man, that was brutal. 24% on 14 shots. He shows a complete lack of self-awareness a lot of times on the court. Now, some of this could be the team saying, do what Henry Ellenson did with Detroit and go out there and jack as many shots as you can. I want you to try and take over. It just did not look good. He shot 9% from three, averaged 10 points with 1.3 assists and 1.3 steals. And there's a legitimate chance that McCall Bridges could be better than Josh Jackson as early as this season. Jackson's still younger than Bridges. He's 4 months or 5 months younger than Bridges at this point. So still some development. But man, just again, when the worrying trends from college, from your first Summer League, from your first NBA season, then keep progressing, you have some issues. Now, Jackson played fairly well at the end of last season, but we have to remember TJ Warren was out, Alfred Payton was out, Devin Booker was out. He was basically doing everything himself, which is sort of the role they gave him here at Summer League, and it didn't actually work for him. Now, where he fits in this season is going to be an interesting discussion. I wouldn't be going anywhere near him in the top 100 this year. I think there are going to be still some growing pains, and I'm a little bit concerned about what Josh Jackson's actual ceiling is. But yeah, he showed flashes at the end of last season that made you go, there's something there, but how well is that going to translate as a team starts to get better? Can he get better with that team? That is the long-term concern, I believe, with Joshie Jackson. Let's talk about the Portland Trailblazers. My man Wade Baldwin looked pretty good here. 13-4 and 7.5. He hit a three. He had over a steal. He was 45% from the field, a weird 44% from the line. But Baldwin's a guy that I criticized Memphis pretty heavily for cutting him after that first season. It honestly made zero sense. Yeah, he had some issues in terms of his attitude on the team, but I think he can be a solid player. Now, will he be the backup on this team behind Damian Lillard? They did bring in Seth Curry as well. There's Nick Stauskas, there's Gary Trent Jr., there's Anthony Simons. I think Baldwin should be pretty much locked into the Shabazz Napier role from last season, and that's going to give him potentially top 200 value. Now, if the Blazers ever decide they need to blow it up and move on from CJ McCollum to get forwards or whatever they do, yeah, a Baldwin-Lillard backcourt could work, and I think that Wade, he might be able to get a top 120 season at some point in his career, but I thought he looked pretty solid here. Zachy Collins did the defensive stuff, which is what we liked from him coming into his rookie season. 2.7 blocks, 7 boards in 24 minutes, but the offensive thing wasn't quite happening. Only 8 points on 41% shooting, 7 boards for Collins. Now, with Ed Davis gone, Zach's going to have to move into somewhat of a larger role this season. Again, one of these big men, if he gets 24 a night, he's probably going to knock on the door of the top 100. I'm not sure he gets there. I think they'd like Collins to take that starting center job as early as the 19-20 season. I still have some decent hope for him long term. The offense just really does need to come around, though. Caleb Swanigan, he grabs rebounds, no doubt about that. 10.7 boards in 26 minutes, only 39% shooting, no steals, no blocks, 8.5 points. 3 assists was nice. I don't see Swanigan as a starting NBA forward. I see him barely as a rotation NBA power forward at this point. Nothing for me to get overly excited about with him. This team had some old favorites in it. John Jenkins, Archie Goodwin, KJ McDaniels. Nothing for me to look at them and go, yeah, they're definitely getting back onto a NBA roster. Jakey Lehman played well here. There's a rotation spot open for him with Pat Connaughton gone, but whether he takes that or not remains to be seen. And then we had Anthony Simons average 11-3 and Gary Trent average 11-3 also. Trent shot fairly poorly, just 35% from three, but he's an opportunity to jump ahead of someone like Stauskas in the rotation, but he needs to be able to bring more than just the shooting to ever really be a top 100 threat in fantasy. It could happen. This defensive stuff could come, and Simons, I thought, played well defensively as well as the Portland Trailblazers went on and won the Summer League Championship, as we're all aware of at this point. The Sacramento Kings, they had an extended Summer League by playing their own Summer League in Sacramento, the California Classic. De'Aaron Fox played just one game, 23-8-6 with 3 steals. Too good for Summer League. Showed that and sat down after the one game. I think a big-ish season is coming from De'Aaron Fox this year, but I wouldn't be going too high in the draft. You're still going to have to deal with some inefficiency problems. Will he hit enough threes? Will he get enough assists? Again, you got to just really burn that into your mind that he's a poor shooting point guard. That doesn't mean he's a pass-first point guard, because he isn't a pass-first point guard. He's a score-first point guard. But I think he's going to have a strong season. I'd be looking at him at the later rounds for a point guard. Frank Mason did fairly well here. 10, 3, and 7 assists with 1 steal. They did bring in Yogi Ferrell, who's going to at least battle Frank Mason for those backup point guard minutes. But I thought Mason was impressive here. And Justin Jackson, you know, a guy who I don't really like very much. He struggled at times, but in the end, 18 points in 32 minutes per game is impressive. But he does nothing else. 3 rebounds, 0.6 assists, 0.6 steals. He shot 46, 87, and 32. He's not going to have this level of usage. And he needs to be able to contribute in other areas. And he might be the starting small forward for this team. I would highly doubt it. I would much rather see Buddy Hield and Nemanja Bjelica or Bogdan Bogdanovic. Yeah, get those roles over Justin Jackson. I have very little faith in what he can do. He needs to be able to do more than this. When he puts up big nights, they look good because of big scoring, and they generally come on either really high efficiency or really high usage, and they aren't things that I think you can believe in long term. Harry Giles, loved what I saw. He's still got some concerns, especially with the front court depth there. 10-7, 1.6 steals and 0.6 blocks. 44 from the field. The free throw percentage wasn't great at 43%, but Zach Randolph, Kostas Koufos, Willie Cauley-Stein, Skalabissier, Marvin Bagley, throw in Deontay Davis, although he probably won't be a factor. Giles is not going to be a draftable guy in most formats. Hopefully they work out that they don't need to play Randolph and Kufos this season, and we can see a little bit of Giles in a 15 or 17 minute per night role. And I think he can develop into a starting center, but I'm not totally sold on that. And of course, Marvin Bagley, just not good at all. 10 and 6. The blocks were really nice, something he really struggled with in college. 1.8 blocks is nice, but still, defensively, he looked lost. He was out of position. He couldn't take shots. The shot selection was poor. His free throw percentage was poor. I had him down at number 6 in my Dynasty rookie ranks, and to be honest, I could easily see him sliding down to 7 or 8 or 9. He could be an absolutely complete bust. Think along the lines of other guys that the Kings have had, Thomas Robinson, Nick Stauskas, Derek Williams. Like, there is a legitimate chance that he is just not an NBA-caliber starter at all. The upside is there, the athleticism is there, how the Kings use him is a real concern, and there's a lot of people saying to me, man, he's on the Kings, he's going to put up numbers, but is he? Randolph, Kufos, Cauley Stein, LeBissiere, these are all guys that Dave Yeager is definitely going to give minutes to. Now, Bagley's not going to come out of the gate and play 32 a night, and much like when I talk about other guys like Justin Jackson, will he get you assists? No. Steals? No. Threes? No. Blocks? Maybe. We saw it in summer league. We didn't see it in college. Will he be efficient? No. Will he shoot well from the free throw line? No. So if he got 33 minutes a night, might he give you 17 and 9? Sure. Will he get 33? I would say the chances of that are almost zero. It might happen for a stretch of time, but it's not going to happen long term. And he's not a guy like Jordan Bell or like Jarrett Allen or like Wendell Carter Jr. who can contribute in threes and give you assists and get steals and block shots and be efficient. He's just not that guy. He is an old school, I'll get rebounds. He's Zach Randolph. And obviously a much worse version of Zach Randolph at this point, a guy who's not a defensive guy, not a passer, and has some weird shot selection stuff. So I'm massively down on Bagley. I think he's going to get massively overdrafted in redraft leagues. And it wasn't a great look for him during summer league. I thought Wenyen Gabriel had his moments, just someone to pay a little bit of attention to for those of you in deep leagues. Not much else, I think, to really talk about with the Sacramento Kings from their summer league. The San Antonio Spurs, we have to start with Derek White, who averaged 18, 5, and 5.5 with a steal, with a block, and hit over 2 threes per game. Tone Parker is gone. Derek White should be moving into that backup point guard role. DeJounte Murray is the starter, but White can play at the 1. He can play at the 2. He's 6'6". Yes, Danny Green is gone, but obviously DeMar DeRozan moves into that spot. I think that White has a legitimate chance to be getting minutes ahead of Bryn Forbes, who got some minutes there last season. There is still Pat Mills, who'll get some minutes too. So don't get overly excited about what White is going to bring. But I think White has starter potential. If Murray struggles, we could see Derek move into a starter's role. That's really, really limited. I think that's a small, small possibility, minuscule. But I liked what Derek White could bring. Does he have top 100 upside? Probably. Will it be this season? Almost definitely not, would be my guess. Chimezie Metu averaged 11.5 and 7.5. I thought he looked okay out there, and he can be a rotation level big. It just probably won't happen this season with Pau Gasol, LaMarcus Aldridge, and Jakob Poeltl, and of course Davis Bertans as the top 4 front court guys. But just a name to watch for long term. While Lonnie Walker IV averaged 11 and 4 with 1.3 steals, I don't believe in Walker as a star level player. I don't believe in him as a starter NBA guy or ever a top 80 fantasy guy. In fact, I think if you get one or two top 100 seasons out of Lonnie Walker, I reckon I'd be a little bit surprised. I just, again, what else are you bringing? Are you going to be DeMar DeRozan, who gets 25 points per game and has 8 free throw attempts on 85%? And struggles in, you know, with steals and doesn't hit, you know, threes. Although I think Walker can hit threes at a better rate than DeRozan. And then DeMar improves his passing, gets to 4 assists. Will Lonnie ever be able to do that? Of course, there's always upside with these guys. But remember, not every player in the first round or in the top 10 or in the top 15 or the top 20 pans out. Tons of them turn shit. And I'm not saying that Lonnie Walker's going to be shit, but I don't have full faith in him. And nothing, again, that happened at Summer League really turned me away from that. I thought Jerome Blossom game, a second round pick from the Spurs last season, played fairly well, 12.5 and 6.5. A block there, could find himself on a two-way this year. Olivier Hanlon, a second-round pick of the Jazz a few years ago, showed some flashes, and Jeff Ledbetter with his sexy hair was out there, but he's 30 years of age. I just wanted to mention the fact that there is a guy called Jeff Ledbetter out there playing. Let's talk Toronto, probably one of the least interesting summer league teams. There was the Jedi.
Hello there.
OG Anunoby, 16-6, 2 threes, 1.3 blocks. That's what we wanted to see from Anunoby last season. He's fully healthy, he recovered from that ACL injury, steals, blocks, threes, scoring. Of course, Kawhi Leonard's presence, you know, it puts a little bit of a cramp on what Anunoby can do. They can play him at the four. They did it many times last season, but Serge Ibaka is there. Will they move Ibaka to the bench? Will they limit Serge and maybe start him in the Derek Favors role, then push him to that bench and play him exclusively as the backup behind Jonas Valanciunas? And then we get Anunoby playing 27 minutes a night, backing up the three and playing the four alongside Ibaka or Valanciunas in that front court. I think that's a distinct possibility. Is Anunoby's upside this season all that high? Probably not. Is it high long term? Of course it is. I think it's massive. I think he can be a real star level player. The offense has to come and it will take some time, but we saw tons of flashes here from him in Summer League. Couldn't have been more impressed. Rolly Alkins, who signed a two-way with the Bulls, he did some nice things. 9-5 and 2, 1.3 steals. That's some nice production from Rolly there, and goes to a situation where he could have an opportunity. Justin Holiday, Antonio Blakeney, Antonius Cleveland, guys ahead of him in Chicago who aren't very good. And if he shows something, there's an opportunity. He's only 20, so I like that. And that's a long-term sort of stash option for a guy who might have a couple of top 200 seasons in him. Shout out to Jordan Lloyd, who is my brother's name. Obviously, that's not him playing for Toronto. He got a two-way contract. Just wanted to mention him because of the name. Although, what's his spelling, mate? Where's the extra L? You lost it, Jordan. 2.8 assists. Interesting. Lorenzo Brown, they converted to a full-time contract. Fred VanVleet, DeLon Wright are still there. So Lloyd is unlikely to get a big role. And Malachi Richardson struggled. Not a guy that I really liked in the draft year or with the Kings last season with the Raptors. And I don't really see too much changing here for Malachi, just not someone who I really think is worthwhile looking at as a long-term future-type player. The Utah Jazz, George Niang, 16-6, 3 assists, a steal, half a block, 2 threes. I really like what Niang can do. He has signed a two-way, he signed a regular contract with the Jazz. Finding minutes there is going to be tough, but injuries always happen. And he is a bloke that in limited minutes can have sneaky top 200 value because he rebounds, he assists, he steals, he hits threes, he scores. He can do it efficiently as well. Really, really a name to watch, George Niang. He is older, so that takes away a lot of his upside, but deeper leagues will want to pay attention. I've already spoken about Grayson Allen in the Dynasty rookie ranks. He impressed me with his 13-7-6. Two steals as well. I think he's ahead of Alec Burks at this point already. Still, of course, behind Rick Rubio and Don Mitchell. Dante Exum's in the mix there, but I think Allen gets rotation minutes pretty much straight away. The Jazz identified him early. They were really happy to get him, and we saw how that worked out with Donovan Mitchell last season. I'm not saying Grayson Allen's Donovan Mitchell. Far from it. But I'm much higher on Grayson. After seeing this defense, after seeing this level of playmaking from him, it was obviously very encouraging. And Tony Bradley averaged 15-9 with 1.2 blocks. Of course, there is Favors ahead of him. There is Rudy Gobert ahead of him. Yeah, it's a long way off him ever becoming a rotation player if he ever gets there. I'm not totally sold on him, but he looked bigger. He looked stronger. He looked more imposing. And that's what you want to see from a second-year player coming in, taking those steps forward. Naz Mitrulong, who signed a two-way for the Jazz, averaged 10-4-4 with 1.3 steals. Just, again, someone to keep an eye on. Probably not a great situation for him in Utah, but deeper leagues, he is someone who can contribute. And a guy who I thought was unlucky to not to get drafted, and that's Keelan Martin, didn't really perform that well, 8-4. Again, a name to keep in your head, whereas guys like Isaac Haas, you're disappointed. And Jairus Lyles, he got signed by the Jazz, actually, averaged 7-4, but nothing from him made me maybe get overly enthralled. The last team we'll talk about from Summer League is the Washington Wizards. Devin Robinson, a two-way guy last season, was excellent. 20-6, 1.4 steals, a block and 1.2 threes. Now, finding the minutes for Robinson behind Kelly Oubre, Otto Porter, Bradley Beal, John Wall, Thomas Satoransky, and Troy Brown, it's going to be unlikely. But just as a guy who took big, big leaps forward this season, and that's always what you want to see. Defensive prowess, scoring, athleticism, efficiency, everything was there. Will it translate? I have some doubts, but it's something to watch. Troy Brown did okay, I thought, in his time. 18-7, 1.4 steals. The three-point shooting is the real concern. And Scott Brooks was talking on a podcast the other day saying he's going to spend a lot of time in the G League, so don't expect much out of Brown this season. I think they look to maybe elevate him into a Kelly Oubre role in a couple of seasons' time. His ball handling is a strong suit for his game as well. defensively, he can work there, but it's all going to be whether that shot comes around. I love what I saw from Thomas Bryant. 15 points, 8 rebounds, 1.2 blocks, 60% from the field, 80% from the line. Killed it in the G League last season. Did that here again. Now, Dwight Howard's a starting center, but behind him, it's Jason Smith and Yan Mahinmi. Thomas Bryant should be looking to get into that third string center spot this season and potentially pushing into that backup center spot. Dwight Howard's history is he lasts one season on a team. Whether that remains the case with Washington, we don't know. But Bryant's a guy who I could see being a 20-minute per night guy in the next three seasons and can contribute. He can hit threes as well. He can block shots. He can rebound. He's athletic. He is definitely a name to watch on this team. Aiden Penava, a guy who projected out pretty well for his shot-blocking ability. He blocked one shot in 6 minutes. That's still pretty good going, just didn't do too much else and hasn't found his way onto a team at this point. And Yusuf Sanon averaged 1.5 steals in 16 minutes. One of the reasons the projections like him is he's really high steal rate as a point guard, but he won't be over here this season. He's still only 18 years of age. We've got a long time to wait, but perfect guy to stash in minor spots in Dynasty League because he's not going to play and he's going to be able to give multiple years of stash ability for a guy like that. And one of the, there's not many high stash guys over in Europe. Nikola Milutinov is probably the number one of those guys, a big man for the Spurs. And Yusuf Sanon's probably up there as that next stash guy that's over in Europe, unless there's someone who I'm completely forgetting, which is always a possibility. Guys, that will wrap it up for today. Go and hit subscribe below. Give me a thumbs up on YouTube as well and on Apple Podcasts. 5-star rating. Subscribe, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify. You know all the places to find the podcast. Now, next week, what we're going to be looking at is all the players heading into their fourth year in the NBA where guys tend to take big steps forward. We'll be talking about them. We'll be covering some of the injury situations from last season. We'll be talking about guys also that had big wild swings in their percentages, free throw percentage, three-point percentage, what it means, what's repeatable, what's fluky. We'll do a mailbag show next week as well. Tons of stuff coming for you as I work through all the basketball monster projections and things that stand out to me. I will drop those little nuggets throughout the show. All the Red Rock Dynasty League rookie drafts for established Dynasty Leagues start next week, and a lot of the startup Dynasty Leagues start drafting next week as well, so be ready for those. I'll be doing a recap of the Dynasty rookie drafts once we've got that happening as well, with some ADP data across the six of those leagues to give you just an idea of how all those guys are sitting. Follow me on Twitter at redrock_bball. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.